All right, everybody, welcome back for another episode of BNR at the Movies podcast. I'm Barry.
And I'm Robin.
All right, so this week was my pick of film, and I decided to go with the 2007 movie Resurrecting the Champ.
Okay.
So this is starring Samuel Jackson, Josh Hartnett, and then my biggest other person I would put in the top, which is not in the IMDb top, is Alan Alda.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. So, okay. I like him. Yeah, he's good.
So this is a true story.
Ooh.
Of a boxer that has he is homeless, and he's on the street, and then he's found by Josh Hartnett's character, who is a writer for a paper, and then kind of tells his story.
Okay.
So that's where the concept of resurrecting the champ.
I bet it's written really well.
It's written really well. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The unique thing about this, so.
Yes. What is the unique thing about this?
So all this occurred in L.A. when there were the true story. And it was filmed in Denver.
Why?
They placed it in Denver. Will
I recognize any of Denver?
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
That does not happen much here.
No, no, not at all. I mean, it's hard.
Why they put
it's, it in Denver? It's one of those. It's such a unique choice because Denver is not a city that is filmed a lot for major motion pictures.
Exactly.
Occasionally, there's a small setting. There's a quick here or there shot. Nothing really major.
Traveling show, and you're going through Denver,
right? Know? Or there's sometimes it's mountains. There's stuff like that.
Yeah.
But as far as actually in Denver, there's not really a whole lot. And so
that's great. I love Denver.
This one is in and around our city of Denver.
Well, there you go.
So yeah. So that's something to for all the Easter eggs to look out for all the. Now I'm assuming people in New York don't do that for every film that's filmed.
We're over it. It's okay.
Woody Allen kind of covered all the bases.
Woody
shot there. That's the go-to line. Woody shot there. That's exactly right. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, in Denver, it's like we don't have that. So whenever
we don't even have Radio Man.
That's right.
Cool like
that's
that.
Right. Radio Man can't come out. Yeah. So for me, and anytime that Denver is represented in a film, my interest is always piqued.
A little bit. And really kind of wondering why.
Yeah. So that's kind of funny because.
Those is cheaper to
film
here.
But see, the thing is I've always heard is that for Denver is that they don't get tax breaks. And that's a big reason why. They're not a lot of films aren't filmed here, and but there have been a couple that I know that have been. There was Identity Theft. That there was some shots in Denver. I know that, and then there's Things to Do in Denver When You're Dead.
Yeah,
well,
better be in Denver,
right? And that's definitely shots around there. Yeah. But yeah, there's not a whole lot, and this one's definitely
Woody Allen's movie. Sleeper.
Well, Sleeper. Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. But again, in the mountains, not in Denver.
There was the Botanic Gardens.
You're right.
Yeah, you really wouldn't be. Well, and it's supposed to be futuristic, too.
Exactly.
So it's like,
exactly. Yeah. And then, there's scenes from Dumb and Dumber.
Mm-hmm.
They go to Aspen, which is
Colorado.
Yeah. So it's all Colorado. And then there are shots at Estes Park, and they're at the Stanley Hotel and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so there's definitely films that are shot in and around Colorado, but as far as like actually Denver as its location, and to have it be a true story that didn't occur here, but then placed here, which is extremely unique.
Very interesting.
So that's definitely the
thinking behind that one. That's good though. That's good.
So that's kind of the twist on it.
Well, it sounds interesting. Now you have obviously seen this.
Yes, I have.
More than once?
Oh yes, yeah.
Oh,
I've seen it several times.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So I'll see. We'll see how many of the Denver Easter eggs you're gonna see.
Are we gonna nudge each other time? There's one.
You have a little welt on the side of my arm from us nudging each other the whole time. But yeah, okay. So it was be all good. Right.
Interesting. Okay, it sounds like good, and obviously a drama, heavy drama.
This is yeah. It's I mean it's there. It's kind of uplifting and it's kind of like inspirational. Mm-hmm. Okay. But okay. It like definitely. I definitely would classify this in the drama category.
Okay. All right. That sounds good.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and watch Resurrecting the Champ.
Okay.
Come back a little bit and talk about it.
All right.
We'll be back in a little while. All right, everybody. Welcome back. We just got done watching Resurrecting the Champ. And as we like to do, that since I was the one who's seen this before, it's like, I want to see what you thought of this film.
You know, it was really different than what I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
It was a simple story.
Yeah, yeah.
But it wasn't one of these where, because even in the before we watched it, you said, you know, it was a reporter and he found this Xboxer, mm-hmm. Homeless and stuff. And we've kind of seen those kind of stories. This is not that story. this is a very interesting story because it really isn't. It isn't about it, what I thought it was going to be about.
Like
about the boxer and that, he was going to help him discover, bring him to the world kind of thing.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It wasn't that.
No, not at all.
It wasn't that at all. No. And I don't know if I want to give it away what it was really about, but I mean, it is an older movie too.
Yeah, it's a 2007 film, so I don't think we're
giving it away.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's just one of these where it's more about just telling the truth,
yeah,
and being real, and I mean, the main character with the Eric the.
Yeah, Josh Hartnett's character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was a liar right all along.
And it's kind of.
He lied. I mean,
it's kind of like
what are you doing?
Yeah. And it's like the lies that you get through in life, that you don't think add up to anything that snowball on you and then they add up to the big lies, And mm-hmm. it's like, so when he's like, like the lies he's telling to his son, like, oh yeah, that he's friends with John Elway, Gossam Maw, Muhammad Ali, and it's like,
yeah, I say, like, why?
It's like,
why do you lie?
The way I can think of it is that he was trying to make himself out to be where he thought that that's what his son needed to hear to make him proud of him.
Yeah, but then he lied to the magazine guy about the newspaper guy.
He didn't even tell him about the story
and he's lying about it to him.
Completely snaked him on that.
It's just amazing how I think that it probably is true with lies. They just kind of snowball.
Right.
One lie just leads to another lie, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure, and then you're in the middle of it, and then it's like, well, how embarrassing to come out and say, well, I lied.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's like, how do you get out of it, mm-hmm. It's like, so yeah, I think that it's interesting that it's the main, the main character is the one who goes around telling all these, somewhat little white lies for a little bit, but then it's like, then the bigger lies and everything.
Uh-huh.
And, he's usually, that would kind of be the character that you would most identify with, in a normal uh-huh. way of going. But the whole time you're just like, but you're not telling the truth. You're not.
So then he meets this boxer who is mm-hmm. lying to him also.
Right.
And him not knowing it.
Right.
It's almost like he got the, what it feels like to have somebody lie to you.
Yeah. Yeah,
the reporter has been doing a lot of lying
mm-hmm.
and not really, maybe not even absorbing what he is doing to other people.
Right.
To know it's a true story.
Yeah.
That this is really kind of what can happen.
Yeah. It's kind of an interesting morality kind of tale where in the end, the truth always wins, and it's like, and that's what I think is the main focus of the film, mm-hmm. is that, you know, it's like, if you're honest with yourself and you're honest, you know, with everything around you, life's gonna work its way out, and right. everything's gonna right. work its way out. Well, you don't have to build yourself up to be something that you're not, or try to.
Right. And I did like it when the son said, "Well, I said what you said, so does that make me a liar?"
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Right that in the gut. Scene. Right. It's like, oh, yeah, it's that, right. Oh,
well, and then he goes, yeah, and then I love it where he goes, would you love me less if I wasn't friends with all these celebrities? And he goes, well, not as much, but pretty close.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
just like, that's such like a 6-year-old kid's yeah, line too. I love that line.
So, I mean, so good. It was just kind of amazing how it really wasn't about boxing.
It was
really just about people.
Right.
And, you know, living a lie and, you know, and circumstances from a lie.
Yeah.
And how maybe in the end that, you know, you can come out around it.
Yeah.
But right. I mean, I have a feeling like he would continue to lie.
If he didn't get caught.
Well, no, he's probably lying now. I mean, you know, he probably said, no, I didn't. But now, you know, I'm doing yeah. other things.
Right,
you know?
Right, right. Now he's lying about other things.
There is something about lying to get your way, lying to get people to trust you, which yeah. is just so ironic. It was like
right.
lying to get people to trust yeah. is like the wrong thing.
And it's, yeah, then he's like, you know, and he's like telling the lies to get people to like him.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, yeah. you know, that's when it hurts. And then, I mean, that's why I like that it's, you know, once he's, the big lie is caught.
Right.
And he's like, no, he finally does the right thing. And that's when he's like, no, I got to own up to it. And I've got to, mm-hmm. I've got to say like, yeah, I,
but he I didn't was in do the it wrong. Soon enough.
He didn't do it soon enough. No,
you not, know,
he should have done.
He could have gotten out ahead of this a little bit, but you know, he was, but when you lie too, you kind of burn some bridges going right. around. Cause if a lie comes out,
mm-hmm.
yeah, you're burning some bridges with people. I mean, do you not care about these people?
Yeah.
Or, you know. It's just, I just didn't really think that's the direction that this story was going to go.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting tale, and it's like, you know, like I said, it's like it's kind of it. In my opinion, it's kind of a unique story where it's
it
like,
really
like,
is.
Like you said, it's like you hear about the concept of it,
yeah,
and you're just like, oh, okay, you expect yeah. this is the path that it's going right. to go and everything,
right. but it's
and it
like,
kind of and it kind of goes that way. And then it's just like.
Then it takes a left turn.
And then it's like.
Oof.
And then all of a sudden it's like, once you think everything is great and everything's gonna be perfect, then all of a sudden it's like, yeah. psh, slap in the face. And then you find uh-huh. out it's like, yeah. it was all a lie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, but I mean, maybe that was what made it real.
Yeah.
It did make it feel very real as far as people, the way they act.
There are some of the people that are in it that I feel are more real on the way they act. Not Josh Hartnett's character so much, but more of like his wife, his son, Alden Alda's character.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like those people feel like, you know, are just, they're real people and they're going through the wise and they're doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then here's, you know, Josh Hartnett's character going around and, you know, spinning these lies and telling these. Now it's one of those where it's just like, you know, he tells like the little, like I was saying, he tells like the little almost white lies to his son of like trying to say like and build himself up and say that he's a big shot when he's not.
Yeah.
And it's like, and then, you know, when he's meeting the champ and the champ's telling his story and he doesn't know that he's lying
yeah.
to him. And so then he ends up finding that out. But mm-hmm. it's one of those where it's just like, now you're almost caught in the lie that somebody else told. And it's like, oh, just like your son was caught in the lie that you told him.
Right. Exactly.
You know? And
exactly.
It's like,
just varying degrees.
Right.
Of it,
right. And it's like, you know? And it's like what the champ did to, you know, champ did to him wasn't right. And what he did to his son wasn't right either.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's all, you know, it's like, yeah. and I think that was the big thing of like, that's when he's, you know, has to come to terms with it and be like, yeah, yeah. He goes, yeah, I did. Yeah. I screwed up.
Yeah. And I guess there's a whole thing of just kind of why. people do it, especially with the boxer. It was kind of explained.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't highly educated. Mm-hmm. He was kind of tricked into impersonating this other boxer a long, long time ago.
Right. And then kept doing it.
You know, and then, I mean, you take a lot of blows to the head, and then mentally you're kind of different anyway.
Right.
But still, you know who you are.
Yeah.
And, but just to keep the lie going.
Yep, exactly. And then you not only are living the lie, but you bring the lie to life. Mm-hmm. And then you become the lie.
So there's got to be a time, I think, if you lied for that long, especially for his character, mm-hmm. that you don't know really where the truth is.
Right. Exactly.
You know. Yeah, so exactly. So with him, it's like I almost kind of understand it.
Yeah.
But the Josh
Hartnett.
Yeah, his character is like, you're educated. You should know better.
Well, and it's funny is that it's, you know, like I said, I would say he's the co-lead in the film, between him and Samuel Jackson. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you have empathy for Samuel Jackson's character and you feel for him. But then Josh Hartnett's character, you're just like, well, you had all this coming. You know, this is what happens when you do this. It's like
right.
It's like you literally did this to yourself, you know, and mm-hmm. it's like you have nobody mm-hmm. to blame but yourself.
Yeah.
And it's like so it's kind of one of those where it's interesting where it's like you one of the main characters and you're just like, no, it's like, yeah, you deserve to be held to the fire. It's like, yes, you screwed up. Yeah. And then, but I do like that. He does own up to it. He does admit to it and says, you know, mm-hmm. yes, I did screw up. And yes, I'm willing to pay the penalties of what needs to be done. You
know, for the big lie, for writing the story about a liar. Then to own up to the small lies too.
Right.
And I think that was the point that they were trying to make, that he was owning up to that. So that was not what I thought this story it's going to be about lies. Oh, well, really?
I couldn't tell you everything. Yeah, you know,
that's good you didn't, because I was just going, what?
Yeah.
Where is this story going? I don't get it. Yeah. You know, but as far as like liking the story, mm-hmm. yeah. The way it was shot, really close. I mean, every time somebody's walking, the camera was walking right behind him.
Yeah.
Right there in on him. It was a very tight shot.
You really had that feeling that not only were you watching this happening, but you were like a part of the group.
Yeah, you were just happening. Yeah, so very tight shots, that's for sure. I mean, and that's obviously very purposeful. It's not a bad way to make a film, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it was good. But yeah, it was really, really
interesting. Did you enjoy the location shots around Denver?
Well, there could have been more.
Well, of course there could have been more, but yeah. So.
But yeah, no, yeah. Yeah.
I thought that was pretty good, especially like the driving when they're driving near Coors Field and stuff. And it's like
two blocks away from my house.
I live in an apartment,
but it's two blocks from Coors Field.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And that's what, yeah. So I was thinking, I was like, yep, I know that road very, very well. And it's like, yep.
Yeah.
So I of course, like, you know, the fact that they use Denver for it, but it's mm-hmm. one of those where it's like, it kind of leaves me with a sour taste, because I wish if it wasn't a true story, if it was completely fictionalized and you set it in Denver, awesome. Fantastic.
Uh-huh.
The fact that it was a true story and it happened in L.A., but then you just decided to put it in Denver, kind of doesn't sit as easy.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a true story.
Like a true story, right.
It's based
on a true story. And that's, you know, that's why I always have to remember. That's why they put it in there, based on a true story.
But they weren't doing any qualms about that. This is supposed to be Denver. Lots of Denver references. The Nuggets and the Broncos.
Eating at Elway's, running into John Elway.
Yeah, let's go to Duffy's.
He's talking about covering the Nuggets and he's, you know.
Yeah, you know, it's like, okay. So, I mean, you are obviously making it purposeful that it's Denver. But maybe there was a reason behind that too. I mean, really. I mean, creatively, whatever. They wanted to do it that way.
And for, yeah, and like I said, it's like I'm torn because it's like I love the fact that they shot in Denver. I wish more movies were shot in Denver. Mm-hmm. And
I mean, a lot of people don't know where Five Points is.
Yeah, exactly. Hello. And he even said he,
that's
yeah.
like accurate. Yes, people. This it's is like, accurate.
That is accurate Denver right there.
It is. Yeah. That's where his house would have been in Five Points.
There you go. Yeah, you know? Right there in the neighborhood.
That's my
and,
neighborhood.
And it's funny. It's like even when you see the houses that are in that shot, you're like. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's yeah. 5 points.
That is 5 points.
Yep. That's 100%.
Just kind of normal older houses.
Yep. That's right. Yeah. Circa 1950 row houses. Uh-huh, and it's like, uh-huh. Oh, there you
yeah.
go.
Yeah. They just picked a block. There you go. Yeah, there's a lot of pretty blocks like that in yeah. Denver that are really very iconic. That's for sure.
Well, and the thing is, for most of those shots, it's like you probably could do it without even a permit because it's like you're not shutting down the street. No. You know, it's probably just, you know.
It's probably quiet, that quiet.
Probably that quiet of a neighbor, you know, during the middle of the day, probably in a whole lot of action going yeah, on. That's you know, like
maybe a little bit, not much.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So.
But yeah, so, I mean, it is nice to see Denver a little mm-hmm, bit.
Mm-hmm. I like the story, and I like that it is a true story. And I think of it as it's a morality tale.
It really is.
And
it really is. And I think that's
the big thing.
It's, yeah, yeah. You just kind of oh
yeah. And it's like boxing is just kind of in the background, kind of like and as the backdrop of uh-huh. that sets the scene for the morality yeah. tale.
Well, and it really was told well because it was where you know. So you see the reporter, and mm-hmm. he's. Telling some lies and stretching things a little bit, and you're going, wait a minute, he didn't tell his editor about that. I really yeah. don't think he did.
Yeah.
But then when he meets the boxer,
yeah.
and you really do go on the ride with him, and you really yeah. do kind of understand why he probably believed him.
Absolutely, yeah. And
you know,
it's like
and how he kind of sort of tried to get the pieces all together,
right?
But just didn't get them. All together.
Yeah. And, you know, and they were saying, you know, once it all came out, you know, his editor is like, yeah, there's the obituary. It's it was there. It was misfiled, but there it is,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's like, you know, sometimes you got to dig a little deeper. And if he would have let his editor in on the fact that he was doing the piece in the first place,
uh-huh.
then he would have been able to use the resources without trying to make it look like it was under the table, uh-huh. kind of using the resources.
Yeah.
So it's one of those where it's just like, in the end, the truth is going to win. It's yeah. like, no matter what you do, it's like yeah. the truth will always come out and the truth will always win.
Yeah.
And I don't
really think about people that lie that are, they're bad people.
I think there's
always a little bit of a reason behind
yeah.
it. And probably, you know, with people that do lie, I would never know. And I believe everybody.
Yep.
I always think everybody's telling the truth. So. Whatever, yeah, you can fool me all day long, sure.
I'll
believe you.
Proof until proven otherwise.
Really, it's like, you know, it's very seldom as I've really caught anybody like in a lie that I was like, oh yeah, I guess I believed that and it wasn't truth. But most of the time I do, because a lot of times a lie has got a nugget of truth in it.
Right.
You know, so right. it's really hard to kind of dissect that.
Well, and then
it's not me to really judge people. If they want to tell me a story, go ahead. Tell me a story. I'll probably believe it. It's a good story. Sure.
Okay. Right. Yeah. And then I always think like, you know, what's the reasoning behind the lie? You
yeah.
know, sometimes it's like you tell somebody a lie to protect them from the truth, you know, because the truth will be more painful,
mm-hmm.
you know, than what you think is the innocent lie. But then later on, if it comes out, then it's like, and then they'll probably say, well, you should have just told me the truth in the first place.
Right. Exactly. You know, and that it's always seems how it goes.
It'll always go that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. It always just seems like, you know.
Yeah. I've always been a big believer in the truth, and I've always pretty much told the truth. Not smart enough to tell a lie because you have to remember all your lies.
And then that's the thing. It's like, yeah. And then it's like, okay, well, and then somebody asks you a question about your lie. Then it's like, then you're going to cover up that lie with a lie.
Yeah. It just
right.
kind of builds. And
right.
yeah. And then, I mean, and you could slip up later on and say something else and somebody will catch you and going, wait a minute.
Yeah. Like, that's not what you said.
You told me, blah, yeah. blah, blah, you know? So, yeah, I guess I've never been a believer in lying.
I'm just too lazy to lie. It's truth is easier. It's like
it really is for me. It always has been. So it was interesting to see a movie that it really was about lying.
Yeah,
and about just you know telling the truth, and when you're caught in that lie, what do you do?
That's right. And it's like, and I think that defines, you know, that defines the character and defines, you know, a person. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, it's like, hey, you know, you when you screw up, what do you do? It's like, yeah. Are you going to own up to it? Are you going to?
Are you going to throw another lie on top of it?
Are you going to throw another lie on top of it? Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Which many people probably do.
Oh, absolutely.
But yeah, so that was the surprise. I just didn't realize that's what the story was going to be about.
Well, I would say I'm happy that I could throw you that curveball weren't expecting.
Yeah. No, so it was very interesting. It really was. And, cool. You know, yeah.
And introduce you to another new one. So there we go.
Yes, you did.
All right. Well, we'll go ahead and wrap this one up.
Okay.
All right. Well, until next time, I'm Barry.
And I'm Robin.
All right. And we will talk to you guys later.